Hey everyone, this is Made for Music. I am your host, Duncan Byerjohn. The reason I started this podcast was growing up, music was my ultimate passion, but I didn't know how to get started. So this podcast seeks to depict a comprehensive view of the music world, from the artistry to the business, so you can discover the resources available to you, and most importantly, the stories behind the people making things happen. If you dig what you hear, please rate and subscribe to Made for Music on Apple Podcasts or whatever your preferred podcast medium is. I truly appreciate that extra effort, and without further ado, here is the next episode of Made for Music. Welcome to Made for Music. Today's friend of the podcast hails from the Tri-Cities and is a tour de force in the Northwest music scene. He wrote his first song when he was just 8 years old alongside his siblings, Yell and Top. And the sibling collaboration is still alive years later. He and Top just dropped a new single, Welcome, so be sure to check that out. With influences from Royce da 5'9 to Grizzly Bear and Johnny Cash to Aretha Franklin, this guy might have one of the tightest flows in the entire Northwest. If you don't already know him, it's time to get familiar. He will be joining former guest New Track City at the Crocodile Saturday, July 20th. So please welcome one of the fiercest MCs around, the man who can make a dope bar out of anything, from today's tragedies to Mortal Kombat, one half of the father-son duo Lone Wolf and Cub, and a phenomenal solo artist in his own right, Nobi.
Hey, man. Thank you for having me, for real. That was, like, inspiring.
Oh, right on, man. With you as a great lyricist, I knew I had to step up my intro game. So
thank you, man. I respect it.
Yeah. Well, again, I really appreciate you taking the time to do this. And we're at Rainier Ave Radio right
yes.
now,
yes.
which is an amazing space. We've been talking about it a bunch beforehand, and we'll for sure dive into it. Thank you for offering up the space.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely.
Before we get to where we are here today at Rainier Ave, I do want to jump all the way back when, and you mentioned beforehand that you came from a pretty musical background. So how did music play into your life growing up, and what were you all listening to?
Oh, man, everything. Music was, I guess, just like ingrained into me, like gospel. I grew up in a fairly religious household, and gospel was just rooted in like almost every aspect of my life. Grandma was on the choir. Mom was on the choir. Mom, like, her and my stepdad, like, they used to do like lead worship and stuff together, and they were in a jazz group together, and then my aunt also makes music, like all from that wow. side of the family, you know what Dang. I'm saying? And then uncles, cousins, like just crazy, crazy music from all aspects. Like my oldest sister, Deshondra, she like got into like really high level dance and choreography for hip hop and stuff.
Oh, like, nice.
I don't remember, well, she's about to have a baby, so I don't think she's dancing right now. But like,
a little preoccupied.
I'm pretty sure she's doing choreo out in Tri-City still.
Oh, nice.
I can't remember. She also does like Boys and Girls Club stuff. So, But yeah, like everybody was into music. And then on my dad's side, he's like a rapper, you know, and like just had me like really like pressed on like lyricism and like that golden era type of hip hop and. So much of like, I don't want to like make fun of it, but you know, like that those people that are just so truly like just passionate about like 90s, early 2000s, like
100%
good hip hop, you know what I'm saying? And yeah, so like growing up, like, and when you asked me this in the pre-question, it was like, when did you first start making music? And it's like, I've always made music, you know, like. Maybe not like recording it, but definitely like with my siblings, like freestyling or beatboxing, like it's so early on. Like there's not a point where I remember I just like picked it up. It's always right. been there.
Is there anybody in the family that's not?
Oh yeah, for
inclined?
Sure. Yeah, for sure. My auntie Tammy, she works with like doctors and stuff, doing something completely different.
Yeah.
You know, I think she married a rapper though. So
oh,
like,
right
she
on,
like
there you
made,
go.
She made up for it, you know, but like, I mean, I guess like if it doesn't stick, it doesn't stick, right? Like they weren't the type to be like, you gotta do it.
Right.
You know, it was more like, you know, we're all like kind of dope at this. So let's do it. Let's embrace that. I would say I grew up in a household where like you were really, really empowered to do whatever it was that you were good at, you know, for sure. For sure.
What was it about that like family or communal aspect that drove you to then go, oh, like, I do want to do this.
You know, it really came later, man. Like, I always, like, in the back of my head, I guess I was like, yeah, you know, like, I really want to, like, be, like, the dopest lyricist ever, you know? Like, that was, like, early on, that was my biggest thing. Like, I just want to be, like, a rapper's rapper, you know?
Uh-huh.
Like, I don't have to get famous or anything, but if other rappers mess with me, bro, like, I made it, you know?
Yeah.
So, I don't know what it was about being, I guess, competition. Mm-hmm. I don't like losing.
Yeah.
I really don't like losing. And with siblings, you're competing for everything.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, it's the same thing in music. You know, it's constantly being like, I don't want to get out rapped, you know, mm-hmm. like if they rap dope, that's great. But now I have to like do better than that. And so like nobody wanted to go first, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
and like set the bar because like you knew like whoever's going second or third is probably going to out rap you.
Right.
And so I think the spirit of competition definitely motivated me. Like that's one of the only things I've like I get really really competitive with, you know. Mm-hmm. Like, and so I guess that really just like kind of drives me to create, because I don't ever want to be like, if there's a better rapper than me, like I gotta strive to like do better, because I feel like I can compete, you know.
Uh-huh.
I feel like that was my God-given right, was to like go and compete and make music and like really push myself to do better. And like, you know how it is, like when you like make that song and you feel like you broke through something.
Yep.
Musically, like that's the dopest feeling ever. And then you go, you play it for 100 times and then you hate it, and then yeah. you do it again and again and again. And so I guess when I stop getting that feeling, you know, when I make new music and I don't get stoked about it, I guess I'll quit making it, you right. know. So did I answer
yeah
your question?
Absolutely. And you mentioned being your dad really introducing you to a lot of that old school rap.
Oh, for sure.
Do you think that played into the competitiveness of like hearing the way they approached music?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Like I fell into Eminem pretty early on, so it was always like, dude, with him it was like, how?
Yeah.
You know, like I still am like, I don't know, like I might get that good, you know, I guess. But early on, I really was like, dude, I don't even know if I can do that.
Mm-hmm. One thing I'll say is props to you is like the last time I saw you freestyle was at Culture Fest.
And whatnot. Oh, yeah. You caught a good one.
Yeah, it was dope. And so yeah. When did you, I guess, start freestyling then? What came first, writing lyrics or like actually freestyling?
Writing lyrics. For yeah. Sure. Well, I mean, like everybody, you know, does Dr. Seuss rhymes yeah. when they're little, but like I remember very early on, especially making my first songs, like I couldn't ever like freestyle as well as I wanted to,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that somehow hindered me from freestyling like very well at all. So I yeah. used to always be like, I gotta have it written. You can come in, bro. Sorry, but Jake is here. So making sure Jake can come through. But yeah, so I really, I think that writing definitely came first. Yeah, all my early songs, like, were written, and they took like a long time, you know. It was like yeah. a whole process, you know, that I went through. Like my stepdad, he was like a music producer and like did jazz and stuff, and when we wanted to record, like he'd be like, you gotta like find your voice, and like it had to be like perfect, you know, when you spit it for him.
Right.
And bruh, like we used to be in our room like just practicing in the corner, just like for hours and hours, and he just like, and when he heard it, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And we were ready.
Yeah.
And like, so writing was a big part of it, you know. Like I couldn't just like freestyle my way to the studio, like I had to like really really work for it. And then later, like when it became cool, freestyling wasn't really cool, because I went to this is like a weird side story, but I went to like all white schools. So freestyling was like weird because nobody else could do it, you know?
Right. They're like, oh, rhythm, no, it's what? We have a stack of Pokemon cards and yeah, that's what we're going to do.
Yeah. And consequently, I'm like super into all that stuff. So yeah. Like, it just was what it was. But like when I got into high school and the demographic opened up and, you know, freestyling was cool, rap was quote unquote in, I was like, oh, you know, like this is fun to do again because like, people like to do it together,
right?
You know, so freestyling in high school definitely was like, and then it was a whole nother competition because it's like, oh, he's good at freestyling, like I gotta be better than him,
right?
Like,
and were you recording at this time or was it more just this is really fun and I'm here to just
super
beat my peers
sporadically? Yeah. You know, like finding a studio that was free was like in awesome. High school just not possible,
right?
In the Tri-Cities, you know, like but like I recorded some stuff on my at my aunt's home studio a couple times, and I think once with my stepdad and once at a homie's crib in high school. And then the summer after I graduated, Karma started making his first mixtape. I featured on that, and then I went to college. That's what happened. I went to college.
Yeah.
And then I didn't record at all for like a minute, like 6 months. Then I met Shehan of the Sultans and started recording again. And then after I met Shehan of the Sultans, we worked for like almost a year, pretty close to a year. I want to say like 2014. I met Jake, who just happened to walk through the door. And we've been recording together ever since. And that's my TED Talk on the recording process.
Nice. Do you feel like your stepdad really pushing y'all to be like truly ready changed your approach to music, even though you weren't recording until later?
Yeah, absolutely. It shook me, you know, like it was, I'm not gonna lie, like it was pretty bad.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like his work ethic was pretty rigorous. And for a while it was like, you know, I don't know if I'm ready to record like that. You know what I'm saying? Like, I did not have the work ethic for it. And I think that's, like, I recognized that.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I really was like, okay, I want to make music, like, I had this baseline, like, this is what I need to do. Like, this is how I need to work on myself just to get to the point where I'm, like, able to go out and do other things. I have to be, like, rapping all the time, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like really practicing and figuring out my voice and stuff. And Sultans actually helped a lot with that, like just vocal coaching.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of honed me in a little bit.
So how did like that rigorous like training growing up influence your approach to live?
For live stuff, man, really Karma like changed my life. I met Karma in 10th grade, my sophomore year of high school. I was in weights class. He was in weights class. We used to lift weights together. And that was it. He was just like, you know, the kid with the afro who was like, there wasn't a lot of people that were African American there. So it was always like, when we were together, it was like, was good. You know, like we're automatically like super cool. And then boom, we're in the gym doing hella bench press, curls. And then I was freestyling at lunchtime and he just like walked into the cypher and like killed, like murdered it, you know, like nobody even wanted to rap no more,
right?
Including me. And so I was like, yo, we gotta like work together,
right?
And so he had an iPod Nano, I had an iPod Nano. They were the ones with the cameras on them.
Yeah.
You could take like a 720 quality videos. It was crazy, like back in the day. It was like, right. Yo, it's so clear. And we would like record ourselves rapping on there and then bounce them from the Nano to iTunes, bounce them from iTunes to email, and then we would like put it together and make rap songs like that. And then we just like grew and grew and grew off after high school. And then after high school, summer before I started going to college, we like started doing shows and stuff. And then we used to like go in his garage and just like scream our verses. Like we had a space, once again, like we had a space where we were able to go.
Yeah.
And scream and work and really like hone in on our art and our craft and how like really, really master that. And the the terrible noise you have to make to do that sometimes, you know what I'm saying? And like sometimes we would run our verses back. I think it was five. We had to do it back to back five times without like fucking up. And if we couldn't do it, then like we had to do it again. And sometimes we'd like 3-hour, 4-hour sessions, you know what I'm saying? And we did that for a whole summer and then we were good.
Yeah.
You know, like we still practice pretty hard when events come up and things like that. But that definitely like opened me up to like doing things live is completely different. You know what I'm saying? It's so much different from being in the studio and how you have to practice being in the studio. And great artists do both. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Like
they understand that performing live is just as important as performing.
For like someone who has never touched a stage, what advice would you give them to, you know, get to that point?
Get to the point of like performing?
Yeah. Like, would you say like try and like trial by fire on stage?
Oh.
Or like go record first or like, because you got kind of your chops cut when you were trying to record essentially.
Yeah. Yeah. I think my biggest thing is like, if you really want to do it, do not be swayed by the way that the audience reacts. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Do that shit because you want to do it.
Right.
You know, like, and so, I mean, trial by fire in that way, like, I mean, that and be able to be receptive to criticism if you want to like get better.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, like if you think your art is dope, go out and speak your art. But like, don't be scared, because like as soon as you're scared, it's hard to deliver it, especially like slam poetry and stuff. Dude, I'm always like so jealous of people that like slam poets. They go out there, it's dead ass quiet. There's no noise. You know what I'm saying? Silence. Every word matters. Yeah. Everything you do matters. Like they are the ultimate, like they're just confident. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
super, super confident. So I think that's my biggest thing is like, if you think your art is dope and you want to share your art, then share that shit confidently with pride. You know, that would be my biggest thing.
You mentioned you and Karma doing a bunch of shows together. Now they're getting pretty big.
yeah.
You know,
for sure.
you've played, you know, Numos here and I can't recall the venue, but you just played the Tri-Cities.
Oh, Uptown Theater.
Uptown Theater. To build that audience, what advice would you have to someone who's like trying to do it and do it confidently and really truly build an audience, especially within a live setting?
I would say, and Marshall actually says this too, like you can't be afraid not to do, you know, like just like this. This happens to me too. Like I get anxiety and I'm like, I don't know if this is the right move. So I'm just not going to do anything. And I'll wait till I know it's the right move. And then you never move.
Right.
You know, like if you think it's a good idea, go do it. Do it now. Plan it now. You know, that's my biggest thing is, oh, I'll think about it later. Don't think about it later. Just do it. And like, if you fuck up, okay. You know, but like, even I feel like unless you like catastrophically fail and like it's going to happen, you know, like when you gamble and want to be like a music maker or risk taker or whatever, you know, there's positive and negative effects to risk. So like, I think one of our biggest things though is we'll be like, oh, I want to gain this many fans by this week, or like every month I want to be gaining, you know, 10,000 new listeners or whatever. And like, they don't stop. And when they don't meet that goal, it's like terrible, right? Like, but if you stop and like realize that you're still progressing forward, you're still making positive progress, it's just not as fast as you want it to be, then like you're able to, I think, look at it a little more objectively and figure out how to efficiently move yourself in the right direction. Like, well, you're already going in the right direction, but how to speed it up. You know what I'm saying? So, and I run into that a lot. Like, I think about things a lot and like what the best play would be, and I get hung up on what the best play is, you know? So like, I mean, to each his own. That would be my biggest piece of advice to somebody that like wanted to start. That was the question, right?
Yeah,
like,
absolutely.
If you're like starting out.
Yeah. And this is a personal opinion. I think it's like important to ask for help too. Like you mentioned Marshall and whatnot, and like surrounding yourself with people that have that same or similar goals kind of thing. to kind of check you also when it, I feel like a lot of the time, my girlfriend in particular, who's not in music, but will be like, I'll do that same thing of, I wanted to get to this point and I'm not even close. And she's like, yeah, but go back a year and you facts. Couldn't even book that bar there.
Facts. You know, super kind of facts. Thing.
And it sounds like a lot of the guys that you work with have been around for a while. Like you mentioned Carmen, like the 10th yes. grade. Mm-hmm. How important is that to have like those like longer lasting friendships that are like still around while you're trying to create?
I think that they, in my case, that they've been instrumental, you know, like they've been vital. I think it's super, super important to cultivate, not only cultivate them, but nourish them and, you know, be attentive to them, relationships just in general. And like, it's, what's the word? It's not that it's important to be loyal, but it's important to like be there when your friend needs you to be there.
Yeah.
You know? I see, especially not even just in music, but just like getting older, I see a lot of like transparent relationships.
Yeah.
And they're just kind of here at like face value. There's not really any give and take, and it's super safe, and that's cool, you know. But like, if you really want to grow and stuff, then you need to surround your people or surround yourself with people who also want to grow. Like, that's super important, because like, we all have friends that don't want to grow, and it's like they just hold you there.
Yeah.
So surrounding yourself with people that are kind of like-minded, who like appreciate you as much as you appreciate them, and are making strides in their own personal life to better themselves.
Mm-hmm.
That's like the biggest thing, because then you're just constantly being inspired. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. That kind of makes me think of the project that you're in with your dad is Lone Wolf and Cub. And correct me if I'm wrong here, but you tackle some like really heavy stuff in that record that y'all did together.
Yeah.
Coming up in a family that like empowered you to do what you wanted to do, and coming out and talking about such vulnerable topics for on a personal level, and then also kind of like sociopolitical and systemic injustice. How did how much of that like familial bond came into play when like tackling these topics?
Word.
And then part B being, did that change your process or approach to writing because of what you were tackling, especially in this like age of everybody nitpicking each other apart, like putting like vulnerable content out there?
You know, the older that I get, you know, and the more time I spend, you know, now that it's like done, it's over, we put it out.
Yeah.
Like the more time I spend thinking about it, the more of a different opinion that I have. And they're both positive. They're just different.
Right.
So like, I think that they're kind of like conversations. I feel like every mm-hmm. song, our process was a little unique in the regard to like how we were created, because it was almost like, almost like an online relationship if we were collaborating, because we spent so much time going to work and going to school and studying, and then like, you know, just spending regular like father son time, you know, like watching a movie or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
That music was something that we did when we could, like when we had time.
Right.
You know, so it was more like we would kind of get an idea for a song, and then he would write his verse, I would write my verse, whoever got inspired for a hook, you know, they did it.
Mm-hmm.
And when we got to the studio, we just threw it up on there, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like kind of vomited it out and sculpted it, edited it, you know, like coached each other through. And after we were done, we'd dry it off, and that was the song.
Right.
So each song, it was kind of like, here's his thoughts, here's my thoughts. And out of the first half of the album, it's super easy, you know, because it's always like, it's like, you know, that 90s golden era flexing type stuff, like not as serious,
right.
You know. And then once we got heavier, it got really, really interesting, because listening to my verse or listening to my dad's verse, you know, he might have an opinion that's kind of similar to mine, but also like completely different because he's so much older. Mm-hmm. And like we'd have these conversations and that's how we'd be like, yo, we should write a song about that. But then like there was no, this is what I'm writing. This is what I'm writing. It was more like, let's meet at the studio and record it.
Oh, nice.
You know, or like we'd be driving there and he'd be like, all right, you want to rehearse the song real quick? You know, so like it was super inspiring, I think, in that right, because like when I heard his verse for the first time, you know, it's like at the highest level you could deliver a verse. It's not like in a freestyle circle or like behind the monitors, you know, with everything blasting. It's like live coming out of the booth, like halfway mixed already, you know, ready to go. And so that was just like super, super cool to see, especially with Mirror's Edge, I think, was like the most inspiring, just because like it was a lot, you know.
That I was actually listening to that on the way over and being that planning to interview him as well. I was like, wow, this is like really, really deep. What was that experience like?
I think I got into this with James on the After Dark podcast. You know, I had to plug Rainier Avenue Radio. I think it was kind of therapeutic, you know, because we had talked about a lot of the stuff that he had spoken about. You know, we have a pretty transparent relationship.
Mm-hmm.
We talk about pretty much everything. And a lot of what I think Pops has tried to instill on me is like areas where he feels like he misstepped. And fatherhood, unfortunately, is like a really, really big one, especially early on in my life. But it's just so much, it's so much more passionate when you hear it like in a verse. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like there's something there that like you can't even communicate.
Right.
And it's hard for me to describe that feeling because I don't know how to communicate it back, but I received it. You know?
Absolutely.
And that was like one of the coolest times, I think, when making the project, was hearing him spit Mirror's Edge for the first time. And it's long, you know what I'm saying? It's like two and a half minutes. It's pretty long verse. But it's like there's nothing that I would want him to take out of it, you know? There's nothing that could be trimmed down. So
did that inspire you, like, I guess after that, when writing new material, did you change your perspective on how open you are?
I guess you could say that, yeah. I think with what I'm creating now, a lot of it is a lot more reflective with the stuff that I've been making over the past few years. A lot of that was kind of me looking at society.
Mm-hmm.
And the newest stuff, like the last few months that I've been creating, has been a lot more me looking at me.
Right.
And I don't know if I could trace that all the way back to Mirror's Edge,
mm-hmm.
but I feel like it could have it. You could say that that was kind of like instrumental
subconsciously
too.
That might have.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
How do you go about writing now with like this space and your home studio and all that?
It changes. It changes. For like a long time, I used to go to the studio and write in the studio. And fortunately, like I'd found friends who would let me do that. You know what I'm mm-hmm. saying? We just kick it, do whatever. And I would write right there. Like if I heard a beat and got inspired, I was able to just like write and record same day, you know? And that's the process that I'm most comfortable with. Like if I'm going to work with somebody that's like, let's create it from the ground up, you know what I'm saying? Or if you're like a producer, play me a bunch of stuff, I'll write it right here if I have the time. I like being very present and in the moment, you know, like, I feel like that's the direction that music is going.
Yeah, that's very true.
For sure is like, you know, everybody's trying to capture the vibe, you know, and which is cool. You know, that's, I feel like that's a direction that hip hop hasn't really gone before.
Mm.
Other genres for sure have gone that route. I would say like even classical music, you know what I'm saying? They have songs about the seasons and stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know, and jazz does too, like, but hip hop hasn't really been there yet. We've touched on it, but I don't think we've explored it like we are now ever.
That's one thing that's been really interesting to me is talking to a bunch of guys such as yourself and Nick and the guys in the Bad Tenets in New Track City is a lot of the guys in the hip hop space are actually listening to a broader range of music.
For sure.
A lot of other folks, like a lot of my peers that are in like rock or singer songwriter, that's what they listen to. It's like, this is where I'm at.
Yeah.
I've also found, and this isn't a knock against folks outside of the hip hop scene, I feel like the hip hop scene right now to me has been the most interesting.
Yeah.
Because I feel like it's actually, I'm hearing a lot more new ideas and like genres being bended. And we're obviously seeing in pop, like pop is becoming very hip hop. Like you listen to even a country record, the underlying drums are now hip hop and
yeah.
rock. It's hip hop, you know?
Yeah.
But
808s.
Yeah. But the hip hop folks are already kind of still yeah. moving away from that.
Well, we're so like based on sampling too. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
We started borrowing from other genres, you know, which is like what makes hip hop hip hop.
I was curious with your song Street Fighter, when yeah. you guys created that, did that start from sampling or did you go like, this would be a cool idea, let's write about this, or
where,
how did that come to be? Because that song's like one of my favorite running songs.
Yeah.
And so
Street Fighter's dope.
Whenever I listen, I'm like, how did y'all come up with this? Like, how did that begin?
Man, it was really, it's really Nems, man. Shout out to my homie Nems, producer from London, who lives in London.
International.
Never met the man.
Oh, wow.
But way back during Karma's first mixtape, he had a beat on YouTube and Karma asked to use it. He said, yeah, Karma made a song. He liked it. We got connected on Facebook and we just been like trading messages for like years at this point, you
yeah.
know, sending songs back and forth. And, Street Fighter was just like, I knew I wanted him on the Lone Wolf and Cub album because every producer is pretty like, they're both people that like we are very big fans of. Usually they're out of the north. I think everybody except Nems is from the Northwest.
Nice.
And but also like I had a point there. I don't remember what it was. Damn. But it's all good. Like. Everybody on that record, we really, really liked,
yeah.
essentially. And I knew I wanted Nems on it, but I couldn't find a beat. Like, he was sending me a bunch of them, and they just, like, weren't hitting it. And then he sent me a very rough version of Street Fighter. I think it was, like, the first two breaks, you
yeah.
know, the first two samples, if you will. And I was like, this is super dope. Add one. You
right.
know what I'm saying? And, I was like, this is perfect because it was right around the time that we needed Karma, like that we had like done quite a few songs and we knew we needed Karma on a song still. I was like, mm-hmm. boom, add another verse. Karma will love this. I already know Pops is going to love this. And it just kind of came from Nems, to be honest.
Nice.
You know, a shot in the dark.
Was that key change? Whose idea was that in the middle of your dad's verse? I believe it's Street Fighter that I'm mm-hmm. thinking of.
Oh, he starts rapping on like the weird break with
yeah.
like all the strings.
Yeah.
You know, like Pops just did it. Like,
right on.
Like originally when I was listening to the song, like I was like, Pops is going to wait, you know, for that dun, 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 dun. Cause I did, you know, I started
right.
on when the sample following that.
Yeah.
You know, after the little Nintendo Fighter does his thing.
Yeah.
That's when I started rapping.
Right.
And Pops like, he just didn't leave any space, you know? So I literally did not know he was going to do that till he went into the studio and did it.
Oh, wow.
And so it was Pop's idea, I guess.
Yeah.
I guess.
Because that's one of the things that always caught my ear was really him coming in earlier. And I was like, oh.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that's super dope. Does that make it difficult live? I'm guilty of being like locked into a key a lot of the time. And
yeah.
is a pretty significant like tonal change.
With rap, it's a little different because you're not singing
mm-hmm.
and it's so based on the beat.
Right.
You know, like dun, 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 you know, as long as you catch the one,
yeah.
you're good. And he's pretty good about practicing too. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We don't switch it up too much for Lone Wolf and Cub stuff
mm-hmm.
in terms of like, remaking the songs or like just going in a totally different direction. Solo Nobi will do a lot of that. But
yeah.
Lone Wolf and Cub are a little more traditional.
Right on. Oh, it's a lot of fun, man. Like I went to this show that y'all did back in December
mm-hmm.
And that was actually the first time I'd seen that track because you had Karma with you.
Yeah.
I don't know if you feel this way, but I for sure felt like that one has just like a, it hit so hard live. Yeah, and like I could feel like the energy was high, and then that one like kicked it up a notch.
Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely. Pops was yelling.
Yeah. as far as like your different projects, do you approach it, is there a conscious decision to differentiate the tone, or is it just when I come in to, or I should say when you come into the booth, is it I'm just gonna be writing the best I can write, or is there like a, this is gonna be the Lone Wolf and Cub sound and this is like my solo project?
Yes,
sound.
Absolutely. And you might know this too, you collaborate with other artists. When I go into a Lone Wolf and Cub session, we kind of have an idea what our brand is, who we are as an entity together. And that, for me, closes off certain things, certain ways that I would approach a song if it was just me.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, there's certain beats that we take that like me as a solo artist, I probably wouldn't write, like I wouldn't go on that. But like if Pops is really feeling it and like something, like sometimes it'll just click.
Right.
You know, that's probably one of our biggest things is like picking beats, you know,
yeah.
Because we're just two different people, you know? So sometimes I'm like, oh yeah, this is for me. Pops will be like, it's too new.
Yeah.
And then I'll be like, it's too old, you know? Yeah. So like it's completely different with me solo. Even just with working with my engineer here and working at home completely like by myself, even that process is completely different.
Right.
So I think that's an important thing to be aware of, is be aware that the energy in the room directly will change the session.
Yeah.
And like if you are somebody who is dependent on another person recording you, mixing you, engineering you, mastering you, you don't really know what your sound is, and I would encourage you to like buy a MacBook and figure it out, you know, because nobody's gonna make you sound the way you can make yourself sound. And I would like to see more rappers try to engineer themselves.
Yeah, someone wants to start rapping, step one, get your MacBook.
Yeah,
what should they be using, like what kind of programs, how should they approach, like what does someone need to get started?
Man, to be honest, not much. And once again, this, I can't remember if we got into this on the podcast or not, but like one of my biggest things is like not moving.
Yeah.
Is like, I'll be like, oh, I don't know. Maybe I should get this. Maybe I should buy that. Maybe I should move this way. Maybe I should move that way. And then I just won't move. You know, I'm stuck in this, you know, when you go to Netflix and you can't decide what to watch, and you just go to sleep, you know, it's, you don't want to do that.
Yeah.
Like just pick one. They're all great. You know, certain things for certain people. I use Logic primarily. Nice. My engineer, Jake, he uses Reason. The Sultans use FL Studio. Like, do whatever, you know? If it works, it works. Go make some music, man.
Right.
Like, there's so many avenues, you know? You can find something. Steal something. It's, yeah. I mean, like, it's so
those pirated versions of, of Ableton. Know?
And even that, there's, like, free ones.
Yeah, a lot of them, the free trial pass.
Yeah, yeah. Like,
I mean, hell, you were talking about emailing yourself.
Oh, yeah, dude. You know? Yeah, absolutely.
Nano demos or nano cuts.
Yeah, dude. We used to find, like, we'd find a radio station that played hip hop. And for us, it was the Power 99.1. And, you know, the end of the song, most rap songs when they end, there's like that 4-bar loop at the end. That's just the instrumental.
Yeah.
Boom. We would record that on our little 8-track and then loop it. And then we had a beat, you know what I'm saying? And so there's infinite ways to do it. You just have to do it. Pick one and just dive in it. Don't be afraid. It's super immersive. You know, like you're not going to know how to do things. That's fine.
Yeah. You know? Where do you turn when you do get stuck?
YouTube.
that is the answer these days. It's like, what?
Yeah. Yeah, someone's had the same problem you've had.
Exactly.
YouTube. And I guess I would also encourage you to, if you start using Logic, start hanging out with people that use Logic.
Yeah.
You know? And work together, collaborate.
There's nothing like seeing it in action and watching someone else do it, and you're like, that's the thing I've been trying to do. Yeah, you did it in two clicks.
Yeah, it's this and everything, you know. Athletes, you know.
Mm-hmm.
that it's in life. Like, if you want to be good at something, find other people that are good at it.
Yeah, absolutely. For someone who wants like freestyle or who's a rapper, where would you recommend they go, especially in the local community? I've seen you do a lot of like ciphers and whatnot. Like, how do people find out about these events?
There's a few, man. I guess the first one is Mojam Mondays. Is every Monday. It's free, but I can't remember how much the donation is.
Yeah, $5.
Something like that. $5, $10. It's at the Nectar Lounge. They've been doing it for like 3 or 4 years, and it's an open mic, but it's also open band. So people sign up with an instrument, you sign up with vocals, they pair you up, you make a band, you make music right there, you freestyle right there. That's a super big one. There's also the Pass the Ox ciphers. You saw it at Culture Fest. My homie Tane, he does those. I think if you just type in Pass the Ox Seattle or Pass the Ox Washington, you should find the next one. It's, I think, June 1st.
Cool.
And then, I mean, if you really wanted to find more, I would look for open mics or cypher competitions, Seattle, you know, do a Google search, you know, like most, we're really good at finding things when we're determined to.
Yeah.
Like, if you wanted to go find a surfer or go find a cypher, you Google it. You can do it.
Before we jump into like the last segment here, do you want to talk a little bit about this space we were kind of talking about beforehand? We're at Rainier Ave Radio.
So. Yeah, absolutely. So we are in Catalyst Labs, which is inside of Rainier Avenue Radio, located on Rainier Avenue in South Seattle. Really, our goal, my man Jake, I keep shouting out my dude, Mr. Jake. He's part of a producer duo called The Digital. And really our goal at Catalyst is to like be the central hub for content creation, you know? So artists coming here needing, you know, production, mastering, vocal coaching, mixing, or like even like on the business, on the other side of content creation, you know, videos, photography, interviews, podcasts, like whatever, we got you, you know, we'll figure it out. So that's like our main goal, is to really help create change through interacting with our community in South Seattle and our artist friends, and really just kind of trying to put people in the right places. You know what I'm saying?
For sure. It's awesome, man. Well, this next section here is called Get Stumped. I'm going to just throw stuff at you in either or. You all ready?
It's like a one or two thing.
Yeah, so Amy Winehouse or Stevie Wonder?
Ooh, Stevie.
Rage Against the Machine or System of a Down?
System.
Eminem or Tech N9ne?
Eminem.
Linkin Park or Evanescence?
Oh. Linkin Park.
Super Smash Bros. Or Mortal Kombat?
Mortal Kombat.
Right on.
Oh, man.
You were quick, man. I didn't even get you once. I have some. I was talking to you about how sometimes, people don't really ask me to cut anything, but I've had it where people pause for so long that they're like, can you at least cut like 10 seconds out of my pause?
Yeah, we did something similar on Town Talk. I don't know if you've heard of Town Talk TV.
Was Nick on that like a while back?
Maybe like way back in the, not way back in the day, but
like a year or two.
Yeah, sure. They covered a lot of artists.
Cool.
And one time the host asked me, we played a game like that where just one or the other, and he was like, yell or top. And I was like, dude, fuck you.
I can't lie. I saw that and I was like, this would be a messed up thing to do. Yeah. But there was no way I was going to actually do it. The irony is, I think if you asked either of my brothers that question, they would for sure just say the other. Because they're like, the other one won't take it that personally. Duncan will take it personally. So I'm going to say it's not him. cool. Well, the last one I got here is just to get a little bit deeper. One thing I love to do is, and I appreciate you being so just open and talking about, you know, your experience here, is to kind of dive into like the personal stuff behind like why music kind of thing. So really, this was inspired by just listening to some podcasts and hearing a lot of folks that have really made it talk about how they never actually get asked anything like of substance.
Yeah.
And ironically enough, Conan O'Brien has a podcast. And I don't know why I've just now decided to describe this, but he sits down with all these super famous people that he's quote unquote interviewed before on the show. And he's like, I don't actually know you.
Yeah.
And I've never asked you anything that really matters. Anyways, that's an aside. And I was like, oh, damn. Like, that happens with a lot of musicians, too. They go to radio and they get asked, like, why'd you make this song? Mm-hmm. Cool. It's a hit. One? Like, when's the next one? Or why did you make it? And they never get asked, like, about the process or anything like that. Yeah. So anyways, I guess my first question here is, like, what do you feel like sets your music apart for you, either personally or for a new listener coming in? Like,
I think dynamics are a big thing for me. I'm especially, and all of this shit is unreleased, so it's like hard to be like, yeah, this is me,
right?
But I think right now is dynamics. I'm really, really playing with form. The EP I've been working on plays with form and song structure quite a bit. I think that would be my biggest factor if I had to like rate myself. And the other thing is just like my attention to lyricism. I consider myself absolutely, like, pretty sharp, you know, at this man. Point.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
For sure. I think those two work super, super well together. And with a lot of my favorite rappers and, like, you know, the rappers, the really, really lyrical kind of guys, they don't always make the best music.
Yeah, you know? That's true.
And so really, really paying attention to is so much more than just like your voice. You mm-hmm. know, it's, is this a good song? Mm-hmm. You know, and sometimes you can, like, you know, it might not be your intent to make the song sound the best for whatever purposes you have behind, like, not doing that. Usually it's like story things or irony things, you know, you're trying to paint a picture with the beat or like whatever it is. But I think those two things would set me apart from the average rapper.
100% agree. As a neutral third party listener not in the room, I would 100% agree.
Thank you.
Yeah, man. Kind of a funny little twist, but if someone came up and was like, okay, you can't do rap anymore and you had to pick, quote unquote, another genre. I know we talked about how we're kind of bending everything.
Yeah.
But if you were to perform, say, in a, I guess, boxed genre other than hip hop or rap, what would it be?
Oh, dude, it'd be rock music for sure, dude.
Yeah.
It'd be like, I want to do like some System of a Down type stuff, or like, I don't even know, because lately I've been like super into Rex Orange County.
Oh, I'm not familiar.
Really? Uh-uh. Oh, dude, he's super, super dope. He's like, oh, he's like fusion though, so it's not really boxed in. He's like R&B and that's indie cool. music.
Yeah.
You know, so I would definitely either go alternative or like hard rock.
Nice. We should clap. Dude,
yes, absolutely. I've been hitting bands up, bro.
Yeah, really?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm supposed to. Me and Martial Law Band have like toyed with some stuff. And
nice.
You know how their schedule is, man. It's crazy.
Oh my god. Yeah.
So,
for anyone listening, go check them out. They're on tour.
Absolutely.
I think they're still on tour by the time this comes out. Yeah. Yeah, they're on tour. They
just started, right?
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. Go check them out. They're dope. So why do you make music?
Why do I make music? I feel like I don't want to be the cliche person and be like, oh, music is therapy. But like,
cliche just means it's been true for a long time.
Yeah. Yeah, there are times where I'm like, dude, I don't know what I'm going to do, you know, right now. And music has been like that saving grace. You know, I'm going to sit down and make a song. And it's not even necessarily a song about how I'm feeling all the time. But like, it being there for me to just like pay attention to mm-hmm. has been like everything sometimes. And so it's never... nothing else. And like, even sports, you know, like I was really passionate about football growing up. I'm still pretty passionate about football. I love football, but like, you know, gave that up. Like, nothing else is, it's never really clicked like it does with music, you know, like the joy I get from like creating stuff, you know, is just like really, really cool. And I mean, even shying away from music, just like with making art in general, like, I really, really enjoy doing things like that. Writing, like, not even just rap, you know, like writing period is dope to me. So yeah, I guess like, I don't want to be like, I feel like I was called to do it. You know, I just feel like that's why I'm supposed to be here, to make, to to make tunes.
Yeah, absolutely. On the flip side, what do you hope people get out of your music?
I think it's different for different people, because I always want to be just that spirit of competition thing. You know, I want other rappers to listen to me and be like, damn.
Yeah, like, know? Damn, he's better.
You know, not even like, damn, he's better, but like, damn, I want to be that good. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, really like
setting the bar kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah. Doing it at that nuanced of a level to where like you're inspiring other people to like break out of the box a little bit and like really create something unique. Damn, what was the question?
Oh, just what do you hope other people get out of your music?
Thank you. Yes, that's a big thing. Like, I hope that I inspire other people to create dope shit so that I can keep getting inspired. You know, it's a give and take kind of a situation. That is probably my biggest takeaway. And also, I think when you really kind of find out what you're passionate about, that's whatever you're doing that's rooted in that passion, that's where you have your voice, you know? And so whatever you feel passionate about, like if something needs changing and you're passionate about it changing, using those passions together, you know, to like really become a voice and really like merge those things together and make a platform for yourself to do so. I think that's how we change, when people come together but also recognize that we're all like individually like really, 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 really good at something. And when we use that thing that we're really good at to help broadcast our voice, then like that's how we kind of band together and make change. Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah. That's awesome, because actually a question I didn't get a chance to throw in was like what your thoughts were on music as it pertains to like social and systemic change.
Oh, for sure. For sure. We got to be the voice, bro. We are, for all intents and purposes. Like, music is just like, it's just like movies. There's so much a reflection of the times.
Yeah.
You know, like, I would say, even if you're one of those people like, oh, I don't have a side, I just make music about the times, even that, you know,
that's still a stance.
Yeah, you know, for sure. So I mean, I feel like the best music has come when people have really been like, not necessarily even wanted change, but like you can just tell that whatever they're singing about, whatever they're rapping about, they're like really fucking passionate about it. That's when we get the best tunes, I feel like.
Yeah, this isn't meant to be like a gotcha type question, but When you have a platform and you're putting your work out there, how does today's current like climate of clickbaity react to pieces of the whole play into that? Or is it just, you know, I got to get this out and I'm going to say what I'm going to say and people need to listen to the whole thing?
I guess it depends on who's clickbaiting. You know, some people are motivated by different things. You know, some people are motivated by money. Some people are, you know, literally doing whatever they can on the internet to get them like famous or make them go viral and make a bunch of money so that they can get out of whatever situation that they're in. Or that can cover up whatever it is they're going through, like whatever it is. And then I think on the other side, there are some people like that are like, the system's broken, I might as well use the system to my advantage and hopefully by some crazy way somebody will hear it and actually be impacted. And there's so many shades of gray in between those two depictions that we're kind of in the state that we're in now. There's, I feel like, some people that fall on one side of the spectrum and some people that fall on the other side. And it's also important to understand that it's a spectrum, you know, like you can be on one side or the other, like, or somewhere in the middle. Like, there's so many variables to why people advertise things the way they do.
Yeah. Well, I really appreciate you doing this, man. Like I said, I'm just a fan, so I'm stoked that we got to finally sit down and like talk about all this stuff.
Yeah, absolutely, man.
I guess before we close out here, where can people find you? Social media, where can they find their tunes, all that good stuff?
Oh, yeah. You can catch me on anything, Spotify, Apple Music, at Nobi, N-O-B-I, on Instagram, Twitter, Snapchat, and YouTube. You can catch me at Ayoblasian, A-Y-O-B-L-A-S-I-A-N. And on Facebook, it's Yoblasian because somebody's punk ass stole Yoblasian. So, yeah, you can catch me literally everywhere.
Cool. And any shows that people should be on the lookout for?
Yes, July 20th, I'm teaming up with New Track City, Tapes One, and Blossom at the Crocodile in Seattle. It's going to be a crazy show, brand new set. Pretty brand new set. It will be like, this is our third performance with it, but it's gonna be so tightened up. Like, this is gonna be the set I feel like good about. You perform before, you like, you know, when you're kind of like, I'm winging it, you know, this show. And the show after that, I was like, we're winging it. But this one, it's like we have so much prep time. Mm-hmm. It's gonna be great. I can't wait. We're already like switching things out of the set. So yeah, July 20th, New Track City, Tapes One, Blossom, and Nobi.
Right on, man. Well, again, thank you so much.
Thank you,
man. Be sure to be pushing that. Yeah, the space is amazing, and we'll be sure to post about all this good stuff that's coming up.
Yeah.
Cheers.
Peace.
Genius on a microphone, saying keeps you a fiend, lead a mic alone. Shit is whatever, I shoot up a red and kill any memory. They think they can tend it without any effort. The bodies get seven and put in a river. Whoa, telling me to put the mic down. That's like telling tweets to go to put the fight down. Lifestyle, hella reckless, these fellas just snatching necklaces. Living by the shell where they pop your melon for brick. Who is this guy living his life like he was a pyro? Spitting the fire out of his mind with a divine flow. The moment that I know, hit a brother with a combo. Get him alive with the rhythm as soon as you hear in the moment that I'm home.
You are not welcome here, keep your ass there below. If we catch you up here, my niggas might take your soul. See, we be running at night, but we don't pray to the moon. Yeah, we come from the bottom, so we got nothing to lose. So what's a king to a god? What's a god when it's me? You niggas cold to my face, but best believe I'll bring heat. Give a fuck by your name, disrespect to your law. Bitch, I'll spit in your grave, don't give a fuck if you gone.
Make a nigga wanna grind with that heat. Make a nigga wanna grind till it's full. Goddamn, I grind till I'm sleep. Wake up, start grinding some more. I swear I'm the king. I just want everybody to know I'm already in major league. Just wait till the young nigga blow. Just wait till the young nigga go. Nigga, tell me what's the lamb to the goat. I gotta switch it on these niggas. Somebody to pass me the remote. Get paid and act like a ghost. I swear we used to be bro, but now we whip around town and we ain't going down that road. Yeah,
I know that my life defined growth. Your low copy style of your clones. My flow, I use it to pick apart my foes. Getting them gone, doing them hard. Murder a song as soon as it's on, yeah. And when it's on, you gon' wanna sing along. Recognize the face of the dawn. I'm killing them all. Check, check. This ain't even a track trick. I'll spin verses, you just hear me close caskets.
You are not welcome here, keep your ass there below. If we catch you up here, my niggas might take your soul. See, we be running at night, but we don't pray to the moon. Yeah, we come from the bottom, so we got nothing to lose. So what's a king to a god? What's a god when it's me? You niggas cold to my face, but best believe I'll bring heat. Give a fuck by your name, disrespect to your law. Bitch, I'll spit in your grave, don't give a fuck if you gone.
That was Welcome by Nobi featuring his brother Top. Be sure to check out their other material available across all major platforms, including Nobi's solo material at N-O-B-I Nobi and his stuff with Lone Wolf and Cub. July 26th, he'll be sharing the stage with Made For Music guest New Track City at the Crocodile. Tickets are out now, so be sure to hit them up or check out the event website. For the soundtrack to this week's episode, check out Made For Music on Spotify. And if you dig what you hear in here, please be sure to subscribe and rate Made For Music on iTunes or whatever your preferred podcast listening site is. And I will see you next time.